Greetings again, Lenten pilgrims. It's Pastor Bob on the Thursday after Ash Wednesday. And thanks to everyone, by the way, who attended and participated in our service last night. I thought it was especially moving and touching with the candles and fireplace in the background for some, and just the presentations by Ed Coller and Bruce Condell and Debbie Howe were so perfect for Ash Wednesday. I feel excited about Lent this year. I don't know if excited is the right word you're supposed to feel, but I feel like there's going to be some change going on, and that starts with me, right? And perhaps for you too. So let's continue on with our Lenten daily devotions. This is our second episode of our Lenten daily devotions. And we're going to keep the format we started yesterday, and I'll still kind of walk you through it a little bit. We will begin with a scripture reading based on Mary Alice Mulligan's Lenten devotional. And from the scripture reading, we'll go into her devotion. We'll end that with talking about things you might want to take note of with your notebook or journal or pad or just a piece of paper or whatever, maybe your iPad for that matter. Then we'll hear a Rumi poem today, two times through, and we'll pray at the end. All right? So, greetings to all. We have a new background song today. I thought I'd try this. It's from Birdsong, and it's just sitting on a balcony in the quiet winter mountains. And it's up as loud as it'll go. So I'm not sure if you're catching that or not, but what the heck. It seemed to fit the day. The apple harvest candle is going to be with us. I think it'll be with us through Lent. I don't know. And the kava. Oh, that kava's good. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling ready. We're going to start this second day of Lent with some amazing scripture from the book of Isaiah. You know, I was thinking as I was preparing this morning, if the arguments were going on, should we take any books, you know, from the Hebrew Bible and put them in the New Testament or our Bible? Should any of them go? I think they'd start with Isaiah. Well, we got to have Isaiah. Let's just start with that. Isaiah's got to be there, right? And probably Genesis. And then they kept going. You know how a committee goes. And then this, and then that, and then this. So we end up with the Holy Bible. But the good news about that is the people who thought they were deciding were really being led by an invisible Holy Spirit. They were being instruments of God. So we have what we have because God desired it so. The book of Isaiah is an amazing prophetic book about Jesus coming. Chapter 55 is where we're going. So if you want to get your Bibles out or you have it close, we're going to chapter 55. This chapter is often called the Invitation to the Lord's Salvation. Amen? Written before God came to earth. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 through 13. 6 through 13. And I'll be reading the New Living Translation. The prophet Isaiah says this, "Seek the Lord while you can find him." Now that, folks, is a great opening line for today's scripture. Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now while he is near. Let the people turn from their wicked deeds. Let them banish from their minds the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. My thoughts are completely different from yours, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. You will live in joy and peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Where once there were thorns, cypress trees will grow. Where briars grew, myrtles will sprout up. This miracle will bring great honor to the Lord's name. It will be an everlasting sign of His power and love. Oh, blessed my Lord, that's an amazing piece of text there, going from us accepting God, reaching out to God, cleaning ourselves, looking around us, seeing God in everything, but most in His Word, and then He tells us what the kingdom of God will look like, where we're heading, what we're building. Where briars grew, myrtles will sprout up. Amen? That's a wonderful scripture. Let's hear what Mary Alice Mulligan says about this. She says, different seasons of the year serve different purposes. The glorious colors and fragrances of early flowers exploding in many areas right now last just a brief time. But the season is crucial for plants to bear the fruit and seeds that lead to reproduction. The days of rain and snow many of us experience are crucial for replenishing the land. You see, God's plan for earth follows God's guidance to make sure there is abundant life, season after season. So it is with God's scriptural word, which also bears fruit season after season in our lives. Sometimes we need to hear basic tenets of the faith, so we read Acts 2. Other times we might need to push ourselves deeper toward spiritual maturity, so we read the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. Or we might need comfort, so we read John 14. No matter what part of God's word we listen to, we are assured it will not return empty. We are always fed and watered by Scripture and by sharing with others how we believe God is working among us. So Scripture helps us stay close to Jesus on our journey to Jerusalem. If you want to think about some notes to jot down, if you already haven't or you want some more, think about a time when you were nourished by reading Scripture, or maybe by someone else sharing words from God with you. You know, during this Lenten period, it would be a good idea to commit yourself to reading the proposed scripture every day. Today would be Isaiah 55, 6 through 13. Every day, read the day's scripture. And maybe write how God's purposes are being carried out as you hear God's word. Maybe write down how God's purposes are being carried out as you hear God's word. And finally, I wonder, is there someone you might share a word of God with today? Amen to the devotion. Get another little sip of kava here. I can tell you on the Balcony in Quiet Winter Mountains video, it is snowing heavily, like a day or two ago here. All right. So, interestingly enough, our Rumi poem for today is called Bee Melting Snow. Bee Melting Snow. Now, Rumi is a little different type of poet for most of us, and he goes a little deeper. He is like in the direction of Mary Oliver, for instance, but a little beyond it. And he uses nature, just like Mary Oliver does, to make many of his points. And today, that's true in the Bee Melting Snow poem. So I want to set a context a little for you. If you go looking for God, right, which everybody is really doing, even though they might not know it or admit it or whatever, you know, you go looking for God every day. And oftentimes it's out in nature that we get a feeling of God's presence, as if we went looking for a full moon, for instance. Everybody wants to see the full moon or the eclipse or things like that, just as an example. And everybody goes out looking and they're fascinated. But that's not the only place God is. In fact, God's much closer than that to you. Okay, I'll leave that be and let's hear this poem twice through. So you really have to just relax, not strain to hear the words, relax to hear the words of Rumi's poem, Bee Melting Snow. Totally conscious and apropos of nothing, you come to see me. Is someone here? I ask. The moon, the full moon is inside your house. My friends and I go running out into the street. I'm in here, comes a voice from the house, but we aren't listening. We're looking up at the sky. My pet nightingale sobs like a drunk in the garden. Ring doves scatter with small cries, where, where? It's midnight. The whole neighborhood is up and out in the street, thinking the cat burglar has come back. The actual thief is there too, saying out loud, yes, the cat burglar is somewhere in this crowd. No one pays attention. Lo, I am with you always. Means when you look for God, God is in the look of your eyes, in the thought of looking, nearer to you than yourself or things that have happened to you. There's no need to go outside. Be melting snow. Wash yourself of yourself. A white flower grows in the quietness. Let your tongue become that flower. One more time. Bee Melting Snow by Rumi. Totally conscious and apropos of nothing, you come to see me. Is someone here? I ask. The moon. The full moon is inside your house. My friends and I go running out into the street. I'm in here, comes a voice from the house, but we aren't listening. We're looking up at the sky. My pet nightingale sobs like a drunk in the garden. Ring doves scatter with small cries. Where? Where? It's midnight. The whole neighborhood is up and out in the street, thinking the cat burglar has come back. The actual thief is there too, saying out loud, yes, the cat burglar is somewhere in this crowd. No one pays attention. Lo, I am with you always, means when you look for God, God is in the look of your eyes. In the thought of looking, nearer to you than yourself, or things that have happened to you. There's no need to go outside. Be melting snow. Wash yourself of yourself. A white flower grows in the quietness. Let your tongue become that flower. Let us pray. Holy God, you are our God of every season of our life. Thank you, God, for feeding my soul season after season, my whole life long. Amen.